The night may be long and the dark may be deep, but the answers are there to be found. Whether it's the normal, the abnormal, or the paranormal, you're in the right place. Let's go beyond reality.
Sometimes it's the normal, sometimes it's the abnormal, and sometimes it's the paranormal, but it's always beyond reality. Welcome to the program. It's Beyond Reality Radio. I'm your host, JV Johnson. Thank you for joining me tonight. Or maybe you're listening as the in the podcast version, so you're maybe it's not tonight, maybe it's during the day. Regardless, thanks for listening. We appreciate it. If you are listening as a podcast listener, share it with your friends, rate it, do all those things to help let other people know about the program. It's very helpful to us. Also, I'm going to start out by telling you that we really want you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Go to YouTube and search for JV Johnson. Couple advantages to doing this. First of all, it's free. Secondly, it gives you access to about 400 back episodes of Beyond Reality Radio. A lot of great stuff there. A lot of great interviews, discussions. It also is where we stream live. If you don't have a radio station in your marketplace carrying the show, it's a great way to participate. And the chat room's there. A lot of great stuff. Go to YouTube, search for JV Johnson, subscribe, hit the notification icon, all of that. So I'm a little bit out of it tonight. Now, doing a late night radio show, it's difficult for a lot of reasons. One is that your schedule gets kind of out of whack. There are radio show hosts that I'm sure you're aware of that do a much even later schedule than what this show does. But I find myself, once the show is over, I'm so wound up that it takes a great deal of time before I can actually fall asleep. And sometimes it gets bad enough that I take ibuprofen PM or something. And I did that last night. And it did a couple things. First of all, it did eventually help me fall asleep, but I way overslept. So I got up way later than I should have today. And I didn't get nearly as much work done as I had intended. And I'm hoping that I can get Slick Eddie or Orion to find someone who can come on the program and talk about sleep and how to get good sleep and what we can use that are non-pharmaceutical options for helping to induce sleep. I know they talk about, you know, going to bed at the same time every night, making sure your room is dark, eliminating noises. Sometimes that's not completely possible, especially when you live in an old house like I do. But either way, there are things that you can do, and there are things you can do in your diet, I'm sure of. And I guess I want to hear about some of that. You know, I know they're going to tell me to stop drinking caffeine. Sorry, it's not going to happen. I know they're going to tell me to stop eating after the show, which that's not going to happen either. I'm sorry. So we have to figure some of this out. And the chat room's got a lot of great suggestions as well. So thank you for that. We'll be taking your phone calls later in the program, but tonight we're going to be talking about astral projection and astral traveling. Our guest, Greg Doyle, is an author, a healer, and an astral traveler, and he'll talk about his book that's called Awakening the Giant Within, A Personal Experience into the Astral Realms. He's also a Reiki instructor. He's got a lot of interesting experiences to share with us, and particularly we're going to talk about astral travel and how you can release your astral bodies from your physical bodies and actually explore the universe. That's tonight's program. Looking ahead, tomorrow night will be a best of show. And then Monday, I've been talking about this one for a while. Monday night, we've got Dee Wallace, actress. You know her from E.T., Cujo, Critters, The Howling, 250 different film and TV credits to her name. She's a Hollywood legend, a great lady. And I found out very recently, I've known her for a while, but I found out very recently that she is a healer as well and an author. And she's going to talk to us about conscious creation and how we can live a better life. Maybe sleep will be part of that discussion, too. That'd be cool. Tuesday night, we've got a couple of guests. In the early part of the show, Mike Apicella will be with us. He's a musician and a founding member of the band Human Host. He'll explore the connection between the material world and the metaphysical with his music and his writing. And then for the rest of the program, Susan Plunkett will be here. Susan is a writer and a psychologist. And she's the author of a new book called Mission from Venus. And she'll discuss extraterrestrials, wanderers, twin flames, and the fifth dimension, not the band. And then Wednesday night, Star Cassis will be here. Mama Star Cassis, which I find interesting because, you know, many of us know who Mama Cass is. Anyway, Mama Star Cassis is a conjure woman and the author of Divination Conjure Style. It's her new book, and she explores reading cards, throwing bones, and other forms of household fortune telling. That'll also be a great discussion. So great programs coming up here on Beyond Reality Radio. And again, I urge you to go to YouTube, subscribe to the YouTube channel, search for JV Johnson once you get there. You'll find it pretty easily. Just subscribe, add your name to our ranks. Join the chat room if you can. It's active during the live program as we stream live. So a lot of great stuff coming up. We'll go to break. When we come back, we'll bring our guest for the night in. Greg Doyle will join us. We're talking about astral travel on Beyond Reality Radio. Hey, gang, JV here. Please consider supporting the program by going to patreon.com/joha. There are two levels to support Beyond Reality Radio, the $2 level and the $5 level, but every little bit helps. Thanks for considering it, and thanks for being a supporter. Tonight, we're talking with author, healer, astral traveler, Greg Doyle. Greg has authored a book called Awakening the Giant Within, A Personal Experience into the Astral Realms. His website is gregdoyleastral.com. Greg, welcome to Beyond Reality Radio. You're all the way on the other side of the planet coming to us live. That's awesome.
Sure, Ram. Great to be here, too. Yep, in Brisbane on the east coast of Australia. Yeah, great to be here.
And I think Orion was telling me that it's something like a 15-hour time difference or something like that, right? So you're well into your afternoon.
It is bizarre, isn't it? And it's a hot afternoon, too, so it's quite strange.
Yeah,
quite
you're strange entering indeed. Summer there, and it's just amazing that we can have these conversations all the way on the other side of the globe. You couldn't get any further away, but we welcome you, and we're looking forward to this conversation. Let's kind of set the ground rules here a little bit, or maybe the definitions is a better way to put it. When we start talking about astral travel, what are we talking about?
It's a good question. Look, astral travel really... What I found is that we all have these bodies, these light bodies, if you like, people call them, but we tend to go out of phase with our physical bodies just before dawn. If I were to put an actual definition on it, what I found is that I just started waking up in this body. So when I would spy on other people, I noticed that they do have these bodies that the ancients talk about that come out of phase with the physical, and you can see them when you're in this state. You can see it happening with other people. So basically an astral body is this other phase of being that is able to connect to these other realms of consciousness, or these higher realms of consciousness, really. And as a result, it actually, when you're in this body, you have full awareness. Like, so you have your human or mortal awareness, if you like, and you also... have a greater sense of reality. So your sense of dimension, color, all of your senses are heightened. So it is why we call it a higher vibrational state of reality. So you feel more real than in this state.
When we use the word realms, that's another word we need to understand to be able to have this conversation. Are we talking about dimensions? Are we talking about spiritual connections? What do we mean when we say realms?
It's a good point. I mean, I'm not even sure what I mean myself. It's kind of the feeling of, okay, so you can go out of body and in what I call real-time astral, which is like you're a ghost in this reality, so you're essentially seeing this reality as would a ghost. Or you can also go out in other realities where you all of a sudden kind of... There's always a sense of, the reason it's called astral travel too is there's a sense of motion when it happens, like your body, you have this feeling of movement, and you generally come to a place, or often that you go through a void, or there's somehow an energetic clearing and you find yourself in another reality that is not this particular one that we call the 3D shared reality that we're all having. So we call loosely, these are called realms. They're really dimensional. It's really all the same thing, I feel. It's interdimensional. It's in the end, it's kind of semantics. I mean, no one actually has said to me in the astral, oh, this is this particular realm, but we kind of call it that. Oh, well, actually, I have been called, there has been termed realms.
Well, it's interesting, too, because there are a lot of terms like that, and we find ourselves talking about them on this program quite often where we use the terms, but we use them in a way because we're not really sure what we're talking about. So we have to call it something, right? So we call it realms, or we call it dimensions, or we call it whatever, but yet we're still trying to figure out exactly what it is we're talking about.
It's a bit that way, you know, but sometimes I think like we have so many different species of trees here in Queensland, and I never remember the names of it. And I think, well, they probably don't call themselves the name we give them anyway, so it doesn't really matter that I don't remember their names. And a lot of people ask me, they say, Greg, which are you going, the fifth or the seventh or the ninth dimension? I don't know. I honestly don't know. No idea.
How did you become aware of all of this? That first of all, just that this existed, but secondly, that you were able to take part in astral travel.
Man, it was such a ride. I started going out of body around 20 years ago, around the turn of the century, and the first time it happened, a light came into my forehead. Once again, it was just before dawn. And it woke me up. So my mind woke up in my sleeping body. So I knew, hang on, something's going on here. So I'll describe it, actually. It was like a ball of light seemed to come through my forehead, and I became lucid enough to think, hang on, is that the sun rising? And I knew it wasn't, because I knew that the window in my bedroom didn't get sunrise. So I was that lucid. And then it was kind of this light was kind of pulsating, and it was kind of like there was wind in my ears. I never forget that. Like I could sense my ears and there was wind. Then this light, it also made my heart feel very good. And that's hard to, look, I'll just put it in simple terms. I just remember this energy pouring into my heart and it felt great. So I felt very elevated. Then this light kind of said non-verbally, do you want to come with me? I went down it. So I allowed myself to be pulled into this light. I had no body. The first time I went, I was conscious of moving down a kind of, it was like, a week later I saw the Jodie Foster movie Contact. And I literally was moved to tears, because that scene when she goes down a wormhole, if you know the movie, that was exactly the experience I had. And I went down this wormhole, sort of bending very fast, lots of air in my sort of invisible ears because I had no body. And I was conscious that I'm still lying in bed sleeping. So you're always conscious where your physical body is, but the greater part of your awareness is going with this experience. Then I come out. I'm about 100 feet up in an atmosphere of what would be termed an alien city, and I'm not into sci-fi, I never was, and they were very modern, tall buildings, kind of shaped at the top, kind of dome-shaped at the top. Lots of windows, lights on. It was like a desert kind of planet, and I was very conscious of where it was. It was very real. I remember thinking, okay, this idea coming to my mind that there are others. That was the message, and I came back from that experience in kind of this with this kind of ecstatic tears, and I thought, and it felt so real. It felt realer than this reality. So that was the first journey out of body. Then the very next night, as soon as I closed my eyes, not even asleep, this light came again. I'd open it, the light would go. I closed my eyes, the light would come again. And I was freaked out. That second night, I didn't want to sleep. You know, this was, and people said, oh, that's a third eye awakening. I never heard of the expression third eye awakening or third eye. So it was totally new for me.
When you talk about the light, are you talking about an actual physical light that if your eyes had opened, you would have seen it? Or do you use light in the more metaphorical or spiritual sense when you use that word?
Well, it was a feeling of don't open your physical eyes. Okay, that was the feeling of don't do this, that will spoil this. It was like a ball of blinding white light, like a ball of light that just was kind of sizzling in coming in through my forehead. I had the feeling that my physical body, it was just an innate feeling that the physical body needed to stay out of this. So since I have experimented and during a lot of astral experiences, I have opened my eyes and stuff, and it's interesting what happens. Things tend to speed up in terms of time, because you tend to go into a beyond time kind of dimensional reality. So I guess you could say metaphorical. It felt very real. It was just the feeling of I could see in my mind's eye this ball of light. Well, it woke me up. And even not long after that, I had an experience where I'd be woken up by vibrations. So generally lights or vibrations would wake me. And this is the feeling of like a vibration, like woo, 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 like that kind of thing. And one time soon after a vibration woke, me out, but I was, it was like I was looking through my brain. Literally, I knew I was looking through my brain. These laser lights were coming down once again, like these lasers, and it sounded like dentist drill. And I thought, well, what's going on here? It was just so, so full on and so loud, utterly real. So, you know, I mean, your physical eyes are closed during it, but it's a feeling of an inner sense, if you like.
Was there any heat or any other physical properties to this light that you noticed?
No, it was more just a bright light and more wind. There's more breeze going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, a breeze was very strong.
As this was happening to you, you say you were conscious of it, but you were still asleep, right?
Yep.
We have about 30 seconds here before we have to go to our first break. Can you offer a kind of a difference between that experience and what we might consider to be lucid dreaming?
This experience is far more real than a lucid dream. A lucid dream is, you know, you're dreaming, and when you become conscious in a dream, you look around, and it's not that lucid, even though we call it a lucid dream. Whereas when the astral experience comes, you feel a sensation of movement, and you move to realms or realities that are have more dimensional reality, if you like, than the 3D one. That's the difference.
Greg, we were talking about how you first encountered this and recognized it was possible and experienced it for the first time. And one of the things that you mentioned that I'm curious about, you said that as this was happening to you and you were seeing things that you had never seen before, that you never knew existed, but you said you were continuously aware of your physical body. Is there a connection, like some type of spiritual connection that remains with the physical body as this experience is occurring?
Look, I believe so. I mean, you can kind of see energy like vortexes. Like, it's amazing. You can see, like, I remember one of the early experiences, I actually had these two people, they kind of rocked up a few times, actually, and there was this woman and this guy, and they told me they were my guides, which I wasn't into that kind of talk, and they were showing me auras and stuff, a lot of stuff that I wasn't before really aware of, and you're able to see these things that I recognized to be later on to be the, what they call chakras, these systems within the field, like these balls of light and cones and stuff of swirling energy, and you could see this kind of how it somehow connected to the physical body in our endocrine system. You could see that there were sort of links, and I understand that. I understood later to be the chakra system. So, but at the time, I had when it first started, I had no idea that it was a spiritual thing happening. Like I was getting out of body. I didn't know I was even astral traveling in the beginning. I just thought, this is bizarre, and I thought, I'll see what I can do. Like, I would even boo people in the street, or I would see how I could, you know, what kind of things I could get up to. Like I would sometimes get out of body and stand in the way of somebody walking through me. So someone would be on the street. They wouldn't see me, of course, because I'm out of body. And when they walked through me, I could sense their entire kind of story or their emotional story. And after a while, I started to realize that there was something going on. I remember I did come down, and I think someone just came out of a church or something, and I gave them a real fright in the astral just to see if I'd get a reaction from there, because they couldn't see me. And you'd often get a start. You see the person. And I didn't know, as I said, I had no idea what was going on. I remember some guy standing behind me, kind of a good-looking guy with blonde hair, said, "Greg, don't do that again." It was really quite bizarre. And I sort of thought, now what's going on here? And it was kind of the feeling that there were these guardians there kind of keeping an eye on things. I didn't feel they were like police per se. I didn't sense that feeling of restriction. It was just a feeling of, okay, you've had your fun. Yeah. Which I was having fun in.
So you this first time it happened to you, though, and you talk about this light that visited you, you weren't looking for it, you weren't trying to make that happen, it just happened. So as you look at that in retrospect, what do you think that light was, and why did it choose you?
Well, look, I had meditated, but not for spiritual purposes. So I used to be a professional musician, so I used to meditate to stay calm when I perform. So just body and mind, I never imagine anything. So I think things have probably gone that way. It's a good question. I remember thinking at the time in my life, is that it? I remember just thinking, okay, is there more? And also I had been to a craniosacral person. I was living in Austria at the time. I had a sore shoulder. I couldn't quite budge the pain. I remember thinking there's something more to this pain. I just can't budge it. And a woman, I remember she was into the kind of energy healing stuff that I didn't know of at that stage. And I remember she was able to move it. And she said, well, you had energy block there. And I went back a few times because I was a bit fascinated. I was kind of curious, a little cynical about what she was saying, that I had energy blocks, but I wanted to explore that further. So I think that that did trigger it. Going to this woman, she did some kind of stuff to remove kind of what she called energy blocks. And I think that kind of precipitated, if you like, these experiences. I think it was maybe destined to happen because it did seem to railroad my life and kind of forcibly, because I had many, many, many experiences going out of body, and it kind of forced me to look at reality, and it literally sort of strong-armed me into another direction.
Once you had that first experience, obviously you've been able to do it many times since. Is it on at will, first of all? Secondly, what was the transition from having that experience to actually learning how to do this at will?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was having these experiences a fair bit, every few days, every few nights, I'd be going out of body consciously. Then I remember someone gave me a book in Austria. I remember it said Soul Travel or something. And I sort of, after a few months, it kind of hit me that this is what they were calling astral travel. Had a look at a book that said you could bring this on, because I was feeling a little bit, there was a lot of alien stuff going on, which was interesting. I had an open mind to the whole thing. But I heard you could actually bring it on, so I wanted to get some control of it. So there were certain exercises you could do to bring it on. So I started to adventure into that. And to answer your first question, I mean, I can't always bring it on. You know, I find more and more I just let it happen anyway. But what I find is if you set up a trip, there's a trip you want to go on, it can often take a couple of weeks. I just sort of let it happen. But it's just with focus and intention, eventually it will happen.
Then you described an experience whereby you were standing, I think you said, on a sidewalk, and you let a person walk through your body. And as that person walked through you, you could actually sense more of them. Is that happening in real time? In other words, if it was 3 a.m. that you were astrally traveling, were you standing on a sidewalk near your house at 3 a.m. allowing this to happen? Or is it in some completely different form?
That's a good question. Sometimes it's the same time, sometimes it's not the same time. Well, what you find is they're different cities. You have a feeling for when you're on the planet, because if you leave your house at this time, then you kind of can keep kind of grips with that particular reality. But other times you'll pop up in what appears to be a real place on this planet, but it's at a different time. So then I started to explore the time aspect, going back and going forward, which is possible. Whether you're going forward into possible realities, I don't know. And you see interesting things. So a lot of it is, look, really, I got hooked on the feeling of it. I got hooked on the feeling of it. Plus, I was being shown things that I felt obviously had some reason. Like I was being shown past lives, and I wasn't into that. And I was being shown myself as an ET a few lifetimes ago, if you think of linear terms of time. And that was kind of like, you know, blasting my mind open. So I was more interested in the fact that in this state, my mind was very singular. Okay. I didn't entertain the fears that you normally entertain in a mortal state. You could really feel those fears kind of clapping around you as you come back into the body, you know, the fear of mortality and the fear of losing loved ones. All these, it was really interesting that the fears that are clapped onto you when you come back down. So you're in this very rarefied dimensional state, and it is a very ecstatic state. And your insights, because you have a very singular mind, are very interesting. So you can actually bring in different memories, if you like, or you have. It is a fascinating state. So for me, it was more that aspect of things, the phenomenal aspect of it, like literally the sense of touch, that you could have an ice cream, you could all of a sudden bring an ice cream into your hand that was a perfect chocolate ice cream. You had no idea of the of the recipe, you know, whereas in 3D you've got to somehow procure the ice cream, you know. And the people you'd meet, the beings, the stuff they'd be saying or they'd be chanting or they'd be showing you, weird stuff, weird places, you know, temples, and or you'd have initiations. I remember I once had a Native American initiation. Like, wow, I didn't even read about that kind of stuff. So it was more that aspect that fascinated me. But the questions, yeah, the questions you're saying are right. You know, who knows really where and what?
We have a question from our chat room that I think is a pretty interesting point. Is there a difference, and if so, what is the difference between astral projection or traveling and remote viewing?
That's a good point. I think remote viewing is a really intuitive thing where you're kind of sending your mind, if you like, to a certain space and you're tapping into that singular aspect of mind. Astral travel is very full-bodied. Like, you can imagine vibrations coming and then all of a sudden a mist clearing and you're in a different room, you know, or you're in a different body. It's really full-bodied, full sensory, whereas remote viewing is really more an aspect of your mind, just the mind traveling there. But I think they're linked. Fingers on the same hand and lucid dreaming as well.
Once you started doing this with with greater frequency, were you able to direct where you went and what you saw?
Mm-hmm. Probably around 50-50. I'd have an intention. I'd get out of body and often be distracted because I'd see something greater than, you know, as you can right. imagine. So I would use the intention a little bit like to get to the car. Like, you go to a car to go somewhere. You're not just going to go to the car unless you've got a great sound system. You're not just going to sit in your car. So I would generally use an intention. I'd say, so 50-50, I'll get to that intention, and the other 50%, I'll be distracted.
We have to go to break here in just a minute. Your book is called Awakening the Giant Within, A Personal Experience into the Astral Realms. Does the book offer guidance on how people can learn how to do this on their own and in some way control it?
It does. I've got a few areas. Well, while it reads like, you know, almost like a novel, just how it happened to me. So it's an interesting read, but I do put in things, exercises that I found helpful to get me out. The main kind of techniques. So people have been known to read the book and have out-of-body experiences, I think, just because you're immersing yourself in that subject. And I think I've learned since about brain entrainment, where you actually, when a certain subject is kind of thought about or read about or discussed, you know, you actually get a resonance happening in that other person's field. So, yeah, the book certainly helps people experience that for themselves.
You you have a lot more than just information about astral traveling on your website. You talk about a lot of different aspects of this out-of-body or this spiritual and energetic and vibrational part of ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. Look, it did lead me to getting into Reiki, which is like an energy healing, hands-on kind of thing. Also distant healing. So it kind of did change my life, actually, because what I found was that this interaction between the astral, like from what I've seen, these other realms, like often in the astral, my own voice will speak to me. He'll often show me things and or tell me things, and he seems to have the capacity to show me past lives or show me my own death in the future in this body, like pretty full-on wacko in the face stuff that I wouldn't ask to be shown. And it generally, like, I'll go out of body in these times and I'll actually hear my own voice speak to me, like through the top of my head, like through a resonator, like booming. Not in a nasty way, but he seems to know more about my situation than I do. So what I've found is that there are these, like, the stuff is happening essentially in the astral before it hits the body. So the astral body exists before the physical body. So if you get in the astral with an intention, particularly toward states of healing or whatever, you get into a very clear, lucid mind, and then you can often cause like a spontaneous kind of healing. And it's I had one experience where I was camping. I like to go surfing, and I was camping on the Victorian coast, which is kind of a really cold, rocky coast, in the south of Australia, and I knew I was going to injure myself, and I did injure myself on the first wave. You kind of get that preemption feeling. Anyway, I'm lying in my tent that night with my leg strapped up, being told I have to have an operation in 6 weeks, and I started to use a mantra to get in the astral. So I was using this mantra that I just felt right. I just knew that this wasn't real. I knew that this illusion of my injured knee wasn't real, and I knew that, you know, I kept on giving thanks for the my healed state, because that was, I was kind of exploring that notion that we have this perfect template around us anyway. You know, like when you go into the astral, it's just this sense of perfection, this sense of, you know, the non-fallen state, whatever we call that. Anyway, I would say this mantra all night, and hoping to have an astral experience, because you can use the mantra to enter the astral realms. As you fall asleep, you kind of carry through what intention you can, and you can fall into an astral state. Nothing happened the whole night. Next morning I woke up, I was still saying the mantra whenever I woke. I was on my stomach. It had taken me a while to caterpillar onto my stomach. Then my own voice, I could feel the vibrations starting while I was awake, and my eyes were open, and I was awake, and the vibrations were really loud. And my body was lifted off my air mattress, turned around, and I felt these little fingers working at lightning speed on my knee. And then I was lowered onto my air mattress, and I was just screaming, because this was not normal. This was, I never have an astral experience when I'm awake, and to experience physical levitation like that, that alters something in your brain. You can't quite, you can't come back normal after that. Well, you know, anyway, the upshot was, you know, in about a week, I was off my crutches, and I never had to the operation. I knew something had happened, you know. It was quite remarkable. That was the beginning of we're really weird stuff happening in this reality. So, yeah, that's the connection where really the magic of the astral experience lies.
We have just about a minute here before our next break. Some of what you describe sounds very similar to like a psychedelic type experience. And psychedelic experience can have what they call a bad trip. Any such thing as a bad trip when you're astrally traveling?
Look, we can get into that. I think not in the end. They're trips that kind of teach you, you get through the boundaries. There were some scary ones early on, and we'll talk about that, certain entities that I would visit and would challenge me when I got out of body, and that is a great discussion point we can really get into.
Yeah, we want to make sure we have enough time to do that. Okay, so we're going to go to break here, and a reminder, we'll take your phone calls in the second hour of the show at 844-687-7669. Greg, before we jump to break here, where can people get a hold of the book?
Absolutely. They can get it on my website. They can find it anywhere. So just look for Awakening the Giant Within and put my name in, and you'll find it. It's also on my site. But for in the US, probably better to get it on Amazon or wherever, anywhere online.
Tonight we're talking with Greg Doyle about another fascinating topic. His book is called Awakening the Giant Within, and we're talking about traveling in the astral realms, astral projection, astral traveling. And we're excited to have Greg here. He's coming to us from halfway around the world, from Australia. And Greg, I want to kind of rewind a little bit this discussion, because I know one of the things that you do as well that may have helped you be sensitive and maybe embrace this faster and more readily than others might is your involvement with Reiki. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, look, I got into that also through an astral experience. I tell you, it was quite bizarre. I woke up one morning, and there was the face of a black wolf in front of my face. It was like a translucent wolf. It hung around for 2 days. It wouldn't go away, growling. That led to me, that was after an energy healing, which was interesting, and that led to me having a very good argument with a friend of mine that I didn't realize before. Perhaps, you know, sometimes when you get into a heated discussion with a friend, you sometimes back out or you go over the top. Anyway, it was a very good kind of different kind of argument. The black wolf then licked my face and disappeared. Then I saw the very same black wolf on someone's T-shirt, as someone who I met, and my whole body kind of started vibrating. I said, "What's going on with you?" And she said, "I'm a Reiki master." That's how I got into Reiki. I mean, that is weird. So that's how the astral works. It just leads you in. And I've never seen that wolf again, exactly that black-faced wolf with green eyes again. I've never seen it. But I did get into Reiki then, and I found I just love it because it's you're bringing this energy in. It's a way of actually kind of you know, you're using energy for positive purposes, and it's remarkable what happens with people. Like, you know, they generally, well, when I give Reiki sessions, generally the person becomes unconscious. You can tap into their energy field, you bring through what they need, so it doesn't exhaust me at all. I'm just kind of channeling the energy. And then they often have lots of movements, or, you know, like their body moves, kind of releasing stuff, and they don't remember it, and then they feel better later. I like it because it's beyond the intellectual. You know, it's kind of what I've learned in the astral is that the default way of being is actually a very good feeling. Like, it's this phenomenal contentment. So you're kind of tapping into that. It's not an add-on. So that's what I like about a lot of this stuff, like astral travel and stuff, is that it's actually about letting go of all this programming that we have, and tapping into that state of being that just kind of feels really good. So there's nothing you've got to do with it. Like, that's what I love about Reiki. It's just really being, you're holding a space for someone, and then phenomenal healings can happen. It's great to witness and be a part of.
But this all kind of ties into some of the words that we've been using throughout the conversation, vibration and energy. How does it work, and how do you, as somebody who practices Reiki and helps people using Reiki, how do you connect with maybe what's ailing the person that you're working with, and how do you fix it?
Well, it's kind of tricky. Like, in the beginning, I would try to fix it. You know, your will gets there because you want what is best for that person. Then after a while, you kind of remain almost childlike, kind of simple. Like, so I'll cleanse my chakras a little because they are important, and that's always something I've done for astral travel anyway. So I'm kind of in a neutral state. When the person comes in, then you learn how to bring in what they need. So it's a given that the person's field knows what you're talking about. Like, on an energetic level, they know why you're there. They know why they're there. The higher aspect of that person is healed. The higher aspect of that person is in a state that is more singular or more refined state. So what I've learned is that the human state is often identifying with, well, like, the emotional state. Like, that's why the mainstream is a great teacher, because it's programming and triggering the emotional body to react. So generally, a lot of people will say this, and I think it's true. Generally, it's the emotional state feeds into the physical state, or the states that are pre-physical. So these are the states you're kind of working on. That field is in the physical. So really, it's a given that a person wishes to be healed. Otherwise they wouldn't come for Reiki healing. So I kind of get out of the way and hold the space and allow this energy to come through, and it goes where it needs to go. It does what it wants. I don't really have to steer much.
Tell us a little bit about stress. I noted on your website that you talk a lot about stress and how it affects us. And it seems to be the case whenever you're talking about any kind of answers to medical issues, stress always comes up. How important is it that we work on alleviating stress in our lives?
Man, I think it's so important. I think stress leads to all of these underlying issues of just not feeling comfortable, or anxiety. So, like, and if you think of it energetically, okay, purely energetically, if something starts to block, things then aren't moving, and you can see that generally illness is our energy is not moving, not the whole energy system is to move. That's the whole idea. You think of a river. If a river starts to stagnate, the water becomes unhealthy, not as vibrant. So that is the case with humans. I think that we're in a human body to heal ourselves. When you are healed, you won't be in this state. I've met beings in other realms and realities when I've been astral that appear to look like us, but they're not. They don't have emotional bodies. They tend to be telepathic, and they're kind of beyond that state. And it's a beautiful state. So more and more, I think to be human is to have a motivation to kind of heal oneself. It might not be this lifetime, but essentially we wish to move out of that kind of emotionally blocked state and into a state of wellness, which is the default. And it really does have everything to do with energy and energy moving.
Before the break, we were talking about what we might consider to be bad trips when it comes to astral travel. You started to hint at that you've had a few of those experiences. Can you share something with us?
Yeah, but I have to say, I have to preface, there's no such thing as a bad trip in the end. Look, I would get off in the there was a lot of this alien vibe that would come, and like my wife used to know that like there was something in the house, things moving, and I would deliberately connect with these energies, and I would feel the vibrations that wake me up. They'd sound like jet engines, you know, it's like a screeching vibration, and I'd go with them, and I'd be going off the planet in my astral body, and you would see thousands of people going off planet, and then we'd go into these massive ships. These massive ships above the above in our atmosphere, above the Earth, and there'd be these tall beings. And I remember that these particular beings were white beings, and bald. Kind of, they wore these sort of silver bodysuits, kind of androgynous beings. And I remember everyone was walking around like zombies, and I had to really keep it. I had to really stay above it, like treading water, to stay conscious. And I remember I tried to escape this craft just out of interest, and like I went through this portal kind of thing, this door kind of thing, and there was a bit of grass. I thought, this is not Earth. But, and this particular ET came out and telepathically said something interesting. He said to me, you can leave whenever you want. You can even take your own life, but we will always have access to your energy. And I thought that was interesting. And I started to see these machinations in the astral, that there were these beings actually recycling this unconscious energy that feeds, or that comes off the human race, this fear kind of feeding into them. It was really interesting. It was like this unconscious waves of energy. And they'd feed us food. I remember one scene where I was in this, everything was kind of plate metal. I remember being in this massive dining room with all these other kind of astral zombies. I tried to wake them up, but they wouldn't wake up. And then I heard a cow screaming, being slaughtered, and we're about to be fed. And they did feed us good food. I remember that. It was quite tasty. And I slammed the table, stood up and said, where next, to everyone, you know, the slaughtering. And I was never invited back. It was just it was almost like moving on from that level. I was shown something. Is it scary? Well, the fact that they communicate with me, and I had this, you know, as a reasonably naive person, I was shown that, well, there's certain energies from the human drama that feed these certain species. Is it bad, or is it just what it is? And it kind of led to other realizations and other beings I'd meet that were kind of scary, you know, and you learn how to deal with it and how to move through that, you know? So really, they were good trips in the end.
One of the questions is, why do it? What's the purpose of it? Is it more for curiosity purposes, or is there a higher spiritual satisfaction that comes from traveling astrally?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, there is a curiosity factor. I mean, look, a lot of people used to come, because now I teach it in courses here, and people would come and I'd look at them and think, in the beginning, I used to think, why would you come to an astral travel course? I would never have gone to something like that. I never heard of it. And it was kind of funny the way I look at people. Now I'm kind of used to it, and I realize a lot of people are coming because they kind of sense there's something more. They sense maybe things have happened when they've slept, like they've had, you know, they talk about these shadow beings, or they've had paralysis. So they want to explore what exactly is that, and that is related to astral travel. And also, you know, perhaps they want to reach or communicate with those who have passed on, or they want to manifest certain things in this reality. And this is where astral travel can really help. And that's like with healings or things like this, but even other aspects, if you take intentions into the astral, then they tend to manifest quicker in the physical. So it's like the physical realms are like these muddy kind of realms compared to these high vibratory realms that seem to carry intention with more weight, if you like. So that really is the principal reason. I mean, people come for all sorts of reasons, and I wouldn't have known that, but a lot of come for healing, for those purposes, to see beyond, to meet certain archetypes, because in the astral they're full of archetypes, and you kind of work through the fears as well, because what I realize is it's a great discussion, but a lot of the kind of monsters and things you see in the astral are those archetypal monsters, and like you meet the succubi, you actually, and it's, what I found is when in the beginning, monsters would pop up at the end of my bed or whatever, and really scary things, and I'd often swear at them, or I'd put my fingers in the shape of a cross. You just do weird things in the astral, you know, whatever happens. And after a while, they kind of sense that you can sense them, and they leave you alone. Like a lot of it, so a lot of the astral experience is to realize that there's a lot of stuff going on that isn't really our story, and to break free of that. For instance, not long ago, I kind of just eased into the astral. I didn't realize. I thought I was still awake. I see this woman hovering over my wife next to me in bed, and she's kind of doing stuff that, you know, hovering there, but I have the feeling she was up to no good. She sees me see her, and she gets a shock of her life and escapes out the wall, right? Goes through the bedroom and out, leaves the house. My wife wakes up. I wake up, and I ask my wife, what happened to you? And she said, well, I was having a nightmare. And she explained the nightmare, and it was just a kind of a run-of-the-mill nightmare. Like, it wasn't, you know, with this woman per se in it. But I knew that this being was having some manipulating her field to a degree. Now, as I said, when beings in the astral who are kind of playing around or up to no good, if you want to put it that way, black and white, if they notice you notice them, they disappear. So after a while, when you develop this astral awareness, you have you take through with you more of, as I said, the singular mind into the sleep world and into these other realms, and you kind of, rather than falling into stories and characters as you fall asleep, you start to literally wake up to what we are, away from the kind of ego-centered who, and that actually alters your definition of yourself, and your interaction with the cosmos around you becomes more exciting, you know? So that's a long-winded answer, but there's something in that.
We have about another minute here before our next break. I want to ask you about a quote, and I think I took this off of your website. You say, when we sleep, we leave our bodies. That's irrespective of whether we are intentionally or consciously astrally traveling. Is that what you're saying? That we just do that as a regular course?
We do. We tend to go out of phase with our bodies. And what happens, all these energies come into these astral bodies that are rejuvenated energies. Like, it's like we're getting our energy back from home. We're touching base with home somehow. So astral travel per se, or what I do, is just about training people to actually open your eyes and wake up in that state of being and explore. I believe it's an innate sense that somehow has been put to sleep over the eons.
And when we talk about whether it's astral travel or just this phenomena that part of our body leaves our physical body, are we talking about the soul? And maybe we don't have enough time to answer that fully, and we'll come back to it. But are we talking about the soul?
Yeah, I think it's closer to what the soul is. Yes.
Tonight we're talking about astral travel with Greg Doyle. Greg has a book he has written called Awakening the Giant Within. And Greg, if someone was to be sitting listening tonight and decides they want to try this for the first time, never had an experience like this, don't really know anything about it, how would you direct them to begin this process?
Look, that is also a good question. I think to entertain the notion that it's possible, and the keystone, I think, to the whole thing is a relaxed body and mind. And I got kind of obsessed with relaxing my body when I was a musician, because I found that I could be tense. 10 minutes later, I play a lot better. Simple as that, if I relax my body. So, and that I think is really kind of critical to the whole thing, to really relax your body limb by limb, and there are plenty of ways of doing that. And then relaxing the mind, you know, looking at what is occupying your mind. And I literally see thoughts as things that are occupying my mind, not necessarily my thoughts. So, because it depends on what collective, where you are, you know, you're at the sea, you have different thoughts than if you're in the middle of the city. So to look at the anxieties that are occupying you and to kind of, you know, put them in bubbles and release them. So that kind of classic kind of relaxation of body and mind, and then to entertain the notion that you would like to go out of body and experience something different, perhaps something that's heart-based is good, because the astral travel experience is generally generated through the heart chakra. So the heart, it feels like the heart is palpitating, but it's actually the heart chakra that's vibrating very quickly. So that's what takes you into that high frequency. So So going to something heart-based, like somewhere where you'd love to visit, maybe a place that you really like, or a person you'd like to visit, an experience you'd like to have, something that is very, that feels safe to you, is a good way to start. And then just kind of entertain that notion that it's possible to go out of body and experience this. So it's a little bit, you know, talking yourself into it a bit in the beginning. That is a kind of a simplified way of starting the whole experience.
Do you recommend that when someone starts this, that they get some guidance from someone like yourself before they try this on their own? I know you said there's no such thing as a bad trip per se, but is there anything dangerous about it?
Nothing dangerous. Look, I've had some really full-on battles with certain beings, and in the end, you know, I thought when it was happening, I thought, am I going mad, or should I see someone, or should I just continue on and see what happens? In the end, I just continued on and see what happened. It really is all good. It's all going somewhere, and you start to realize that in these other dimensions, your vibration, you're giving off stuff. So what you're going to experience is, if you've got embedded fears within you, you're going to experience that. That's why these fears are so triggered by the mainstream, you know, whether it be life insurance ads or, you know, certain news reports to fire up your emotional body to put you into fear. That is part of a mechanism that is actually controlling the human race on a certain level. So really, look, I would have liked guidance, I guess. I mean, in the beginning, I was kind of freaked out, not knowing what was going on. I knew it was fantastic, but I wasn't sure what was actually going on. And I probably had an adventurous spirit because I was kind of this naivety in a certain way. But I think, you know, essentially that's what I am. I am a guide. A lot of people actually tell me, oh, they say, and I haven't even trained them, and they say, Greg, oh, thanks for coming and getting me out of body at night and taking me somewhere. And I don't even remember doing that with them. You know, I'll do it with maybe other people who I've never even met. So there's all this stuff going on. It's good to get some help, because if things happen, you kind of feel someone's holding a hand. That's where it's nice, you know. So that's why I do my courses, and that's why that's just eventuated out of me actually having written the book, is this the teaching of what I didn't think I'd be doing. But it's nice to have your hand held, for sure.
You obviously, this has affected you considerably. It's opened up something very significant in your life and the way you perceive the world. And you even go as far as saying that this will change the way you see the world around you. It'll also help you discover yourself and learn more about yourself. How does it change the way you see the world around you?
What I realize is, look, I don't see this as real. It's funny. Some guy came and wired me up with all these electrodes to see what kind of wave I was operating at, and said, well, your brain's not normal. He figured that because I was having these experiences, because my main predominant wave is a gamma wave. So he said, you're kind of in a heightened meditative state. You're not actually here. And funnily enough, I don't really perceive this as real. So I'm less reactive. I see it as a game of energy. These other realities are more real. I see these realms as kind of insane, what's going on, and I'm not belittling them. It is a game of energy, and I feel it's actually, we're here to kind of overcome this karmic entanglement that we find ourselves in. There is something to do with that. But by the same token, it's a very beautiful reality. I find that I'm more connected to the beauty of it, particularly nature and people, and, you know, it's fantastic. Things just don't trigger me as they once did. So I'm not, energetically, I'm kind of invisible. So the whole thing is to kind of, you know, people talk about it a lot, it sounds a bit cliche, but you're kind of burning off ego through this process, so that your field is kind of invisible for those lesser energies that are looking for something to claw into. So you kind of develop this sense of almost invisibility. It's like you're not really here in the best sense. And you're kind of perceiving what's going on. Still, you're taking action, but it's not taking charge of you, and it's literally not getting charge from you and building that charge. So that's how it's changed me.
There are a lot of reasons to be curious about this, and I'm particularly curious about the experience you were discussing earlier when you said that your leg was injured and you actually had this experience while you were awake. Is the ultimate goal here to be able to do this on command, sleeping or awake, day, night, doesn't matter?
Yep. In a nutshell, yep. And these are the things that excite me. Also the notion of biolocation, like, can you bring enough energy that you can exist somewhere else, or at least can I appear in a room or even a darkened room, you know, where I appear as some kind of entity and talk to these people. I mean, so these are the things that excite me. Even often in the astral, I find myself, you know, moving things around with my mind. And I think, why am I doing that in the astral? And you can sense the parts of your brain activating when you move things around. And I think, why can't I do that in the physical? So when I had that experience, you know, of levitation, that the whole notions of gravity and what we've been taught kind of cracked somewhere and fell kind of to the side, you know, when I realized this is a more playful reality than we think. And these truly are the goals of astral travel, is to be able to have that more conscious dreaming or awakening through the dimensions. Really, that's what it's about.
Have you been able to, or do you know of others that have been able to contact maybe deceased or departed loved ones by doing this?
Oh, yeah, for sure. In fact, I remember getting out once and I had this woman come toward me, and then she said she wanted me to bring her husband who had killed her to justice. And she was telling me all these details. And then I noticed a line of people. And I happened to have one of my guides next to me, and I was looking to them for reassurance. What should I do? I didn't know what to do. And I thought she was sort of kind of looking stony-faced. I remember thinking, I don't want to get into this. And that was just my path. I didn't want them knocking at the door. So you, in the best sense, I mean, funnily enough, I kind of welcome ETs in and weird-looking aliens, but I was kind of thinking ghosts. I'm not really into that, probably because of programming. But you really can reach those realms and talk to them, absolutely. And they're not so far away. That's what you call the kind of the fourth dimension, where they often hang around. And like just the other day, I was in a concert in this old building, and I was connecting. Really, it was a beautiful connection with this female ghost who was hanging around, and she was popping up around the musicians, and it was amazing. It was very playful, as I said, and it was just nice, you know.
Yeah, I had asked earlier if this astral body that leaves the physical body could be considered the soul. And if, in fact, you can astral travel and meet people that have passed, would that indicate that their quote-unquote astral body or their soul left them upon death and is now residing in this astral realm, and that's why you can interact with them in an astral travel situation?
That's exactly the feeling I have. I feel like they leave an imprint, you know. It's like a splash in the water, and there's these ripples. So I don't think they're there per se, but I think an aspect of them is. And the astral, and actually the derivation of the word astral, it comes from astrum, which is the Latin word for star, the notion that it's our star body. So It's a body that kind of travels the cosmos, and I think that this is part of it. I think that's why it's kind of closer to the soul. It's like a bridge body that can take mortal consciousness and connect it with, you know, your higher aspects of yourself. And yeah, I totally agree to what you're saying there.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the semantics of the word itself when we start talking about soul, because there are religious connotations there too. But if, in fact, we just use that word so we know what we're talking about, if, in fact, it is your soul leaving your body at night to astral travel, and if, in fact, it is your soul leaving your body for good when you die, it seems pretty natural that those two could meet somewhere.
Absolutely. I think that's the ultimate astral travel, is when you die. Obviously, you know, that's what happens. And I've, funnily enough, I've actually been in situations around people who are dying, like in hospitals the last few days, and You actually sense their astral body tends to start to leave a few days before, or this, the essence of them leaves. And I've often connected with people just before they're dying, and their astral body connects with mine. It's really interesting.
Is there a way to observe it? If someone was to set up the right equipment or be sitting next to your bed, say, when this was happening to you, can they actually see something happening?
I think you could. I think infrared is good. I know My cat would see stuff, you know, like you try the TV controller in front of the cat. I used to play around with that, and the cat was kind of watching it, and I'd be throwing Reiki symbols on the cat. And in fact, meeting cats in the astral is kind of easy because they tend to sleep all day. I think that's what they're doing. So what was your question again?
I was wondering if you can actually observe this when somebody's doing it. And particularly if you're sitting, you know, in a hospital room and someone is crossing that threshold and their astral body or their soul, if we want to use that word, is leaving their physical body. Can you see it, sense it in any way? And I asked this for a very personal reason.
Yeah, if you go into that meditative state, for me, generally, when I'm in the physical sense and I'm going to a very meditative state, I sense it, I feel it, and I can kind of see it a little bit. But some people have a real visual thing. For me, it's more visual and real when my body's asleep and I'm astral. But when I'm physically awake, generally, yeah, you can sense that. You can really sense that energy. It's not so difficult.
Well, I had an experience, and folks that listen to this program have heard me talk about it several times. My mother passed away a couple of years ago, and I was in the hospital next to her bed when she passed. She'd been in ICU for 4 days before she passed, and I'd been in that room for 4 days, and I'd never experienced anything like I experienced the moment she passed. I was watching the monitor showing heart rate and all those things, and you see it coming, and you know it's coming, and you're saying your goodbyes. And then when everything just stopped, a few seconds after that, I had a very obvious, strong, and comforting breeze cross my face. And again, I had been in that room for 4 days and not felt any breeze, any air movement like that whatsoever the whole time. And at that moment, yeah. I did feel that. And I'm very, very curious about what we're talking about. And if you can sense that physically, because I'm convinced that was my mother.
Oh, absolutely. I've felt it a few times, and it's a really comforting feeling. It's a feeling that you kind of feel elated. You know that, and the grief comes later, but you know that that they're somehow still alive. You know, they're just passing. You know it. You know it. At that time, you know it, you know, and it's very positive.
Okay, so we're basically out of time here. I know that you have very, very generously offered a discount to folks. Tell us what you're offering a discount on and how people can take advantage of that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's called Astral Travel, a Breakthrough Course. I've got this online course, series of videos, MP3s they can download, and you know, point-by-point meditation. So it's taking you through step-by-step. And you can do it on any platform, this whole astral experience and how to get into that. And it's also, you know, helping people along if they're unsure how to go about it, and certain mindsets and things like this. And, you know, what people can do, they can go to my website, gregdoyleastral.com/beyondreality, one word. And there they can see a direct link to it. And I found it's helped people. A lot of people, it's just gotten them over that stage, like they've often been close, or even those who have not had any interest, it takes them into interesting meditation exercises. And it's just helping people, you know, all the techniques I found that help you access these realms in this state. So to those who want to, that'd be wonderful. I think they'd like it.
Okay, again, it's gregdoyleastral.com/beyondreality, beyond reality being one word. And that's where they can find this. Yes.
Yep.
Okay, great. And once again, the book is available, as you said, here in the United States. Amazon's probably one of the easiest places to find it, but it's available elsewhere and on your website, right, Greg?
Absolutely. And you can, even if you want it physically, you can ask a bookshop to get it in too.
Terrific. Thanks so much for being here tonight. It was a very, very fascinating conversation.
Loved it. Thank you so much for having me.
That discount, if you're interested in exploring that, is his website, which is gregdoyleastral.com/beyondreality, beyond reality being one word. Check it out. See what he's got there. He's got a lot of other stuff on his website as well, including, and I didn't get a chance to ask him this, but he has light sessions. But I think you have to be where he is to be able to do that, because it's a physical thing.
Okay. I mean, I know Reiki can be done long distance. Who knows?
Yeah. I know he does some of his other stuff long distance. He has courses on astral travel and courses on Reiki, too, if you're interested in learning how to be a Reiki master or proprietor or whatever. I still don't understand how that works. I've seen people like holding the hand, you know, their hands over somebody.
And yeah, but
there's this energy thing going on.
It seems to really work.
Yeah, have you ever had Reiki done to you?
I haven't, but yeah. I've heard some pretty remarkable stories.
I've seen a lot of people. I mean, I go to events and the lines at the Reiki tables are pretty long, so somebody's getting some kind of benefit out of it. That's for sure. Tomorrow night, a Best Of program here on Beyond Reality Radio. Monday night, actress Dee Wallace will be here to talk about conscious creation and how to live a better life. I'm really looking forward to that conversation. Tuesday night, it's Mike Apicella in the first part of the program. He's a musician and founding member of the band Human Host. He'll explore the connection between the material world and the metaphysical. And in the second part of the program, it'll actually be more like the three quarters of the program, I think. Susan Plunkett will be here. Susan is a writer and a psychologist, author of a new book called Mission from Venus. She'll be talking about ETs, wanderers, twin flames, and the fifth dimension. That's going to do it for tonight. Hope everybody has a great weekend. It's Beyond Reality Radio. We'll see you next time.
Beyond Reality Radio is hosted by Jason Hawes and JV Johnson and produced by Alexandria Johnson and Slick Eddie Edwards for Entercom Radio. Beyond Reality Radio is distributed by Westwood One Radio Networks. Stop by our Facebook page and say hello. Follow the hosts on Facebook as well. For Jason Hawes, follow at jasonhawes.taps. For JV Johnson, follow at jvjparanormal. If you'd like to be a guest on Beyond Reality Radio or you have a suggestion for a guest, contact Slick Eddie Edwards at slickeddieedwards@gmail.com. Be sure to visit our chat room as well at beyondrealityradio.com. Thanks for listening.